sermon is brought to you by Pastor Daryl Hilbert at Grace Bible Church in Gillette, Wyoming, preaching the living word through the written word. You can find more studies and audio at www.gracebiblegillette.org. And you can also like our Facebook page online.
Picture up front, we have a picture of the shadow of a cross on the Wailing Wall. We've been talking a little bit about this imagery. In Acts chapter 10, we see that Gentiles are included in salvation, which the Jews needed to know that. It needed to be revealed to them. And the scripture says that Christ, His death on the cross, broke down the partition wall between Jews and Gentiles. That was the main prejudice of that time. But if you could think about it, there were many ways in which Judaism was to be separate from sinful pagans, the Gentile nations. But as was their custom, they always took that tradition too far. And it would never have been something in their minds to consider that the Gentiles, the Gentile dogs, could be saved. Now, I know I'm preaching to the choir because we've studied chapter 10. We've been in chapter 10 for only the Lord knows how long. And now we're going to go in chapter 11. And when we come to chapter 11, Peter is going to basically say what happened in chapter 10. And you say, well, why do we have to go over and over it? Well, number one, because obviously there is a great significance to this understanding of the inclusion of the Gentiles that God, through Luke, brought our attention to a whole chapter in chapter 10 and beginning in chapter 11. But as Gentiles, we would understand the importance of it. In case there should ever become any doubt that we could not be included in salvation, this is where it all takes place. Now, quickly, in Acts chapter 11, I'm going to try to cover verses 1 through 18. What I see here is further acceptance of the Gentiles. Chapter 10, we understand that Peter, along with some of the other circumcised believers, saw salvation come to the Gentiles. They were divinely led through the visions, divine revelation, explaining to them that this was of God. And then when Peter preached the gospel, they believed. And when they believed, they received the Holy Spirit. And how do we know they received the Holy Spirit? Because they spoke in tongues. And what did that show us? That the Gentiles can be saved. Well, that's about seven Jews who believe that. Now, the entire Jewish nation needs to be convinced of it. And as Peter comes back from his journey, he is confronted by other circumcised believers who do not believe that you should eat or spend time with Gentiles, let alone waste or cast your pearl before swine. And they confront Peter. And Peter's answer is basically relating to them all that God has just done with the vision and the direction and the Holy Spirit speaking and then the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And at the very end, these circumcised believers are quieted down and they glorify God that God has also included Gentiles. That is what we see in these 18 verses. But before we get to these, something that I've been wanting to do and something that I think is very necessary for us to do is I want to talk about the theological consideration of the Gentiles. I want us to see several things before we get into that text. Number one, that the idea of Jews and Gentiles in Christ was a mystery. We'll explain what a mystery was, something that was not known previously but now revealed by divine revelation. But that it was God's predetermined plan revealed in the Old Testament. In other words, it wasn't just a helter-skelter in the early church. What do we do next? We don't know. God has it in control. His predetermined plan was revealed in the Old Testament. We find out that the Jews were to bring the light to the Gentiles. But as you can see, that wasn't happening. The Gentiles then are to move the Jews to jealousy now that the Gentiles have received the light. And it is as if the Jews have turned their back on the light. So the Gentiles are to move the Jews to jealousy. But make no mistake, God will restore the light to the Jews. I want to cover this here this morning. But let's just begin in a word of prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray for illumination and understanding of the Holy Spirit. For how blessed is it, Lord, when through your word and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, we begin to comprehend things, Lord, that were uncomprehendable for generations. So, Lord, this mystery between Jews and Gentiles in Christ was one such that we're talking about this morning. And it applies so very much to us because we are Gentiles here meeting this morning. But we are in Christ. And we thank you, Lord. So would you give us some understanding of these things? May Christ be exalted and may we be motivated to do our part. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So first of all, as we've been talking about this for weeks, and I've probably mentioned bits and pieces of this along the way, but I really wanted to bring this all together. I wanted to put this together. I wanted the biblical picture of Jews and Gentiles in Christ. And it begins with a mystery. The Jews and Gentiles in Christ was a mystery. What a mystery is, the Greek word mysterion, it's something that was hidden in the past, but now made known by God's revelation. Not made known by us getting smarter. Made known by God revealing something to us. So I'd like you to turn, if you would, to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. We do have quite a few scriptures to go through here, but I think it's so good for us. Ephesians chapter 3, we want to go through verses 1 through 12. And I first want to read verses 1 through 3. It says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you, that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery," something unknown before, but now by divine revelation made known to Paul, as well as other apostles, "as I wrote before in brief." Putting the whole book of Acts together, we've seen Saul come to Christ in chapter 9. We're in very short order, we're going to see Paul come back into the picture. Paul was specifically the apostle to the Gentiles. Since we've found out now that God is including Gentiles in salvation, this is going to be a major part of Paul's ministry, and he's going to be the one who actually reveals much of this to us. In the book of Romans, he also spends much time, and we'll be looking at the book of Romans in detail here in just a moment, but he says in chapter 11, verse 13, "But I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, inasmuch then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry." Often used to wonder why the Apostle Paul, being a Pharisee, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Jew, really a genius, and we've talked about that, a genius, and then converted, why God would send him to the Gentiles? Wouldn't it have been better to send him to the Hebrews? I mean, after all, they're the ones that ended up having difficulty understanding anything. But then you realize if the Jewish people would say, no, Gentiles cannot be saved, who would be better to explain it than an expert in the law, one who had the Holy Spirit and the Lord used to the Gentiles to tell us these things as we were brought in to the promises in Christ? So it was a mystery. So when we talk about this concept of Jew and Gentile, What you see unfolding in Acts chapter 10 and 11 is certainly common to us as believers who read our Bibles, but it was extremely new in history. It was extremely new in the whole plan of the church. Let's read on. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. He says, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in no other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. We said before that the great ministry of the apostles is the fact that they were God's chosen spokesman. And I don't mean that as a cliche. I mean that as God's chosen spokesman, they were the ones who would speak God's inerrant truth and write it. Now, how do we know that? Probably tired of hearing me say these things. We know that because not only did Christ choose them, and we see that in the Scriptures, but it was proved by their miracles. Only these miracles of God could be done by God's spokesmen. They did that. And so the Jewish people knew to listen to them that this was God's spokesman. Here's the word of God. And one of the things that God is using the apostles to speak now is this mystery that was unknown before. But now it's being made known. And what exactly do we mean by this mystery? Look at verses 6 and 7. To be specific, Paul says, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of His power. So that's this mystery. It was a mystery. And He spells it out for us. So this isn't something that we just have a hunch about. This is something that as you look at Scripture, Scripture has clearly defined. And that's what I want to look at. I want to look at this so that we understand what the big deal is in Acts 10 and Acts 11. But I want to show you something that's very, very dear, very, very precious. Look at verses 8 through 12. First, he says, speaks humbly about himself. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery, which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. The inclusion of Gentiles, the inclusion of us in Christ, has been an eternal purpose in the mind of God. Not just a forethought, not just a brainstorm, but in His eternal omniscience, His eternal will, His eternal decree, His eternal purpose that we would be part of salvation in Christ. Yea, even before the foundations of the world were created, we as Gentiles were thought and were held in the mind and the heart of God. What a precious, precious thing. Now, as we understand then that this was a mystery, I have another mysterious point. Number two, it was God's predetermined plan revealed in the Old Testament. Now wait, you're saying it was revealed in the Old Testament. That's right. But you say it wasn't known before. That's right. Didn't they read the Old Testament? They read the Old Testament, but they didn't understand it. And so it was that they were able to see certain things. If we go into the Old Testament, which we are about to do, we are going to see where these things were revealed in the Scriptures, but man's understanding was not able to comprehend it. He did not know the mind of God or the plan of God or the purpose of God. That's why you need to study the Word. That's why you need to come to church. So we can study the Word of God and understand God's purposes and eternal purposes and plans, because it's revealed in His Word, but we need the Holy Spirit to illuminate us. You may know that Christ died on the cross for your sins and then He rose again, and you may know that you placed your faith in Him. I'm so glad you do, and that's where it all begins. But that is not where it ends. That's only the beginning. It's by childlike faith that we come to Christ. But we are not to remain children in our faith. We are to become mature. And you become mature by looking at God's revelation in His Word, both Old Testament and New Testament. But here we see God's predetermined plan about the Jews and Gentiles revealed in the Old Testament. But God needed to explain it. Now, what am I talking about? Well, there's a number of things that I want to just spend here in just a moment. I want to say, first of all, that as we're thinking about this, what we read back in Ephesians 3, 4, and 5, that this revelation was brought forth through the apostles and prophets. But this is how this came to be. So we're going to see that the apostles are the ones who are going to teach us all these things. Now, we know it, right? We know it because we're part of it. But they certainly didn't know it then. And perhaps someday you would be required to defend it. What would you defend it with? Hopefully not your opinion. Hopefully with the Scriptures. And so it says, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. We are about to see that in these next few points. Now, first of all, we can say that this predetermined plan of the inclusion of Gentiles into Christ and into the promises which Judaism was well welcome to was revealed in, first of all, the Abrahamic covenant. And I think we even mentioned this before. But I would like you to turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. And I have a number of scriptures where this is reiterated, but in its most basic form, as He's given the covenant to Abraham, He says to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, one might say, well, if He's talking about families there, maybe He's talking about Jewish families who are going to be in the earth. Meaning is nations. Later on, you don't have to turn there, but in Genesis 26, 4, as He's reiterating, as He has done numerous times to Abraham, He reiterates this covenant, and he says, by your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. This, of course, is referring to Christ. That Christ, who would come from Judaism, He was a Jew, would die on the cross, raised from the dead, and He would offer eternal life to all those who believe in Him. It was then going to be extended to all the nations. And it's referred to here in the covenant according to Abraham. Now, am I sure about that? Am I making the right interpretation? I mean, it sounds good. We've heard that. We've heard others share that. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 3. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. Because in Acts chapter 3, we do see a sermon where this verse is mentioned. And in Acts chapter 3, as Peter was preaching, and preaching about Christ, that Christ was the one who was prophet, priest, and king, and He was the one who was going to die on the cross. He quotes, this is Acts 3:25, He's going to quote from Genesis. And he says, it is to you who are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made you made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. For you first God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. Now, when we went through this passage, we made the comment that this referred to the Gentiles as well. But there's a real obvious point here that they just didn't understand it that way. So when they read that, when Peter preached and he quoted that, he says, it's to you who are the sons of the prophet. He's speaking to the Jews and of the covenant which God made with your fathers. And he says, for you first, God raised up his servant. Now, it's interesting. He says, for you first. Is there an indication that Peter knew that it was going to go beyond the Jews? Well, we might say yes. But then again, when we come to Acts chapter 10, he said, Lord, I'm not going to eat anything unclean. And the idea is, I'm not going to preach to the unclean Gentiles. Perhaps he knew. But the point is, the Jews would have looked at it at this point. No, it's just the family, Jewish families, not the Gentiles. Well, turn over with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. In case there's any doubt at all, the Apostle Paul writes in Galatians 3:8, the Apostle Paul, who is the apostle to the Gentiles, he clearly explains it, the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed in you. So it's not just a hunch that this revelation was given in the Abrahamic covenant. We're told by apostles themselves, this is how we are to understand this. There are numerous prophets that write certain things about the Gentiles, Amos to be one of them. And in Amos chapter 9, let's all turn to the book of Amos. Amos chapter 9, verses 11 through 12. We have him speaking about the inclusion of the Gentiles. Now remember, this was a mystery, even though it was revealed in the Old Testament. It was very difficult for the Jews to understand. Actually, as we go through it, it's kind of hard for us to understand, except for the fact that we have the answers already. And it's the apostles in the book of Acts that give us that answer. So what we're saying here is not only are the Jews included, the Gentiles included with the Jews, not only are they going to grow in acceptance, but then the apostles themselves throughout the book of Acts are going to teach that. It's a major, major point. Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12, it says, in that day I will raise up the fallen booth of David and wall up its breaches, and I will also raise up its ruins and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. You say, that means the Gentiles are included? Yes, it does. I'd like you to turn with me to the book of Acts, Acts 15. Acts chapter 15, verses 16 and 17. In Acts chapter 15, where they are going to have this big council. Oh, by the way, there's a big council coming up, and it has to do with understanding what to do with the Gentiles, what to tell the Gentiles. They're figuring it out, but God's already got it figured out. They're coming to the understanding of it. And in explaining this, we come to verse 15, Acts 15, 15, and says, with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after these things, I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen, and I will rebuild its ruins and I will rescue it, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord and all the Gentiles who are called by my name. They quote Amos 9 to show God's inclusion of the Gentiles in the Old Testament. And remember, the apostles are under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. They are God's spokesmen. Not saying that they won't ever sin. But when they're speaking the truth and speaking doctrine or writing the truth, they are writing God's words. They are God's representatives. And here they are putting this together for us. Well, let's go to maybe something that might be a little bit more understandable. Let's go to the Apostle Paul. After all, he is the Apostle to the Gentiles. Let's go to Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and chapter 15, verses 9 through 13. Now, Paul has said a lot about Jew and Gentile in Romans 9, 10, and 11. But when we come to 15, it's kind of like a concluding thought that he's talking about the inclusion of the Gentiles, and he continues to quote from the Old Testament, Samuel, Deuteronomy, Psalms, and Isaiah. Look at verse 8. He says, "For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcision on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the fathers." Verse 9, and for the Gentiles to glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, and now he is going to quote 2 Samuel, "Therefore, I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name." Also, that is also quoted in Psalm 18:49. So the Jews knew about this, but the Jews didn't know that it was including the Gentiles. And it does. And it makes sense to us now that we know the answer. But it makes great sense to us. And it's the apostles who taught us that. Verse 10. Again, meaning I'm not done. I have more. He says, "Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people." Here he quotes from 32:43. Because God is referring to the Gentiles in a sense in which they are worshiping, in which they are praising, in which sense they are receiving the benefits, is all due to what has happened in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11, the inclusion of the Gentiles. It was a mystery, but nevertheless, it was in the Old Testament, yet obscured until the apostles were revealed. It was revealed to them, these truths. Verse 11, and again, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles." How can a Gentile praise the Lord if he doesn't know the Lord? "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples praise him." Wow, over and over we're seeing these comments about the Gentiles. And yet, when Peter goes there in chapter 11, somehow the news of the conversion of Cornelius the Gentile had been faster than he was able to get there. Surely it was texted ahead of them. Well, it was by word of mouth, and don't think word of mouth is slow. They already knew, and they were waiting at the gates for when Peter would show up, and they were going to question him and dispute him about it. So they hadn't put this together. Paul writes in verse 12, and again Isaiah says, "There shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope." Now I guess we can say, well, yeah, they should have understood it, but they didn't. And it took the revelation of what happened with Peter and seeing the sheet come down with the unclean and clean animals, and he was told to kill and eat. That needed to happen. He needed to be told by the Spirit. The Spirit told him, it says in the Scripture, don't have any misgivings about these Gentiles when they come to you, and don't be afraid to go with them. And he goes. God had to do this. Now, what I want to say is, as we're thinking about this, what was God's plan? That the Jews were to bring the light to the Gentiles. We think of now as the Gentile church, it's our job to evangelize the world, and it is. But it first began with the Jews. the Jews were to bring the light to the Gentiles. Evangelism. That's what they were supposed to do. But you know what? It wasn't happening. In chapter 11, and moving on, especially as we come to learn about Antioch, they say that the establishment of the Church of Antioch happened 7 years after the day of Pentecost. So chapter 11 is roughly close to 7 years. 7 years had gone on and they were not preaching to the Gentiles. They were not evangelizing. Now they were getting close. You know, they went to the Samaritans, the half-breeds, but not to the Gentiles. This had to happen 7 years after. So we see God's timing in it. We see God's predetermined plan in it, but we also see Israel's failure in it. Now, why would I say that the Jews were to bring the light to the Gentiles? Well, turn with me to Acts chapter 13. And I love that we can find this in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 13, verse 47. Paul and Barnabas in Antioch. And as that they were preaching, says verse 46, Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first," speaking to the Jews, "since you repudiate it and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles." Now, even though he's the apostles of the Gentiles, he still was a Jew and he had a heart for the Jew and he always brought it to the Jew. But look at verse 47. And here's what he says. "For so the Lord has commanded us. I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." Quoting Isaiah 42:6 and possibly Isaiah 49:6. He is quoting from the Scriptures that this is what they were supposed to do, Paul and Barnabas. But who was it written to? It was written initially to the Jews. And so the Jews were to do this. And we find out that in God's plan, he understood that the Jews were not going to do this. And so it was really going to find its fulfillment after the day of Pentecost, when Jewish believers were going to take the gospel to the Gentiles. And then once the Gentiles received it, everyone was to bring the gospel to everyone. But isn't it interesting, even today, the Jewish people are, first of all, rejecting Christ, but second of all, they're not very friendly to Gentiles. Well, we could go through the Scriptures here. We could see that Christ was the light. You remember in Luke chapter 2, verse 32, when Simeon was there in the temple and Jesus' parents brought him in, and he looked at Jesus and he said, "He is a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." He was quoting Scripture, another one of those in the Old Testament. So Christ was the light. You know those verses that says that the land was in darkness, but they will see a great light? Christ was the light. But the Jews were to reflect that light. And then the Jews were to bring that light to the Gentiles. They weren't to hoard it. It wasn't just for them to be saved and too bad about everybody else. But that was not happening by itself. And so we see this movement of God's plan. Now what do we have? Well, now we have the majority of the Jewish people rejecting Christianity, the Messiah, and mostly Gentiles who are Christian now. The nations who are Christian. What happened here? Those who were to bring the light no longer accept the light. They reject the light. So now what's supposed to happen? Well, without spending a whole lot of time in Romans, the Gentiles are to move the Jews to jealousy. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I'll just quote this one verse. He says, "I say then, they did not stumble so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by their transgression, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make them jealous. So now the shoe is on the other foot. And our life and our knowledge of Christ is to make them jealous. We could go through here and see that God has not rejected Israel. Israel has rejected God. But God does have a future program with him. I don't know how you could study the book of Romans, especially 9, 10, and 11, and come away thinking that the church has somehow spiritually engulfed Israel. That there is no more Israel. It's now spiritual Israel, the church. How could you get that from Romans 9, 10, and 11? He says he has not rejected his people. And he goes on to argue that. What he does say is, verses 7 through 10, is that they're experiencing a partial hardening. A partial hardening is not a full hardening. A partial hardening means that they're hardened partially. Some Jews are being saved, most are not, but it will not last forever. And then there's this idea that it will stop when the fullness of the Gentiles has come. Now, what is the fullness of the Gentiles? I think the fullness of the Gentiles is when this program with the Gentiles is finished. I believe it would include the rapture. That would be one of the things that signal, to me anyway, God's completion of this. He says in Romans 11:25, "But I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery." Thank you, Paul. "So that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. Just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." And there was much more. But this is where the program is. So what we could say would be a final point then is that God will restore the light to the Jews. So it begins with the light. The light was a mystery. It was obscured. No one understood it. But it was in the Old Testament. But no one could understand it. And then we begin to find out that the Jews were to know about this light. And they were to bring the light to the Gentiles, which they did not until the church came. Until 7 years later after Pentecost and God was moving through the Holy Spirit. Then the light was brought to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles received the light, some of the Gentiles. Enough that we don't see that there's a partial hardening in Gentiles. At least we don't see that phrase. I would think the vast majority of Gentiles are not saved. They've not come to Christ. You have people living in this country hear the gospel, know the gospel. In fact, I've heard atheists give the gospel plan of salvation, the gospel, much better than Christians can. And they don't believe it. It's foolishness to them. But there's not a partial hardening that he says that they're going through, like he says with Israel. They've received the light, and now their job is to live that and to share that to bring the Jews back. And so to be a light to the Jews now, it's reversed. But what we will see is that really it will take God himself who will have to restore that light to the Gentiles. So one of the points that I want to make here is, other than the obvious fact, praise the Lord, we're Gentiles. This is cool. God had it all planned. It was not helter-skelter in the early church. And I'm talking about God. I'm not talking about the apostles. They were trying to work their way through it. But God was not, oh my word, are they going to make it? Oh my word, what am I going to do? Holy Spirit, I better send you down there. It's just not going to happen. God was in complete control. Working with and through the Holy Spirit. As we said, Acts chapter 10, we see the Spirit's involvement in the salvation of the Gentiles. God is bringing his plan. If it's an eternal purpose, it's under control. But too bad that was just for the early church. Too bad that's not for today. We have a little helter-skelter going on in the church today with the Strange Fire Conference, seeker-sensitive movement, all kinds of movements within it, worship movement. It's helter-skelter in Christianity. When people look at Christianity now, they say just by looking at Christianity itself and all of the problems that they have, it can't be true and it can't be by God. That's not true. God is in control. Now, how do we know that God is in control? From the Word. What do we know that God is planning? It's in the Word. It's in the Word for us. And we have to be people of the Word, just like the apostles had to be people of the Word and give the Word to have revelation from God. Now, they at times received extra revelation. We do not, because we have more revelation than we know what to do with. The people who talk about extra revelation the most from these other churches are the least competent in the revelation that He's already given. And that's what we have to do. So it may seem like it might have been helter-skelter, but it was God's eternal purpose and God is still in control. But in order to follow God, in order to walk in His will, we have to know the Word. Now let me bring on another point. There was a great prejudice between Jew and Gentile. They would not bring the light. 7 years had passed. 7 years. What does that mean? It means they're walking by Gentile villages and going to where the Jews are. Well, I take that back. They were progressive. They did witness to Hellenistic Jews. They were progressive. And then they really got progressive when they went to the Samaritans. But they were not preaching to the Gentiles. What we're going to see in the book of Acts from here on in is really not so much a Gentile missionary endeavor as a world missionary endeavor. From here on is going to begin the missions of the early church. This is what it's about. And Paul now is going to come back into the scene. What we have to say is, where are we in our missionary endeavor? No, don't look at that wall. I'm not asking you where are our missionaries in our missionary endeavor. We know where our missionaries are in the missionary endeavor. Where are we in the missionary endeavor that's supposed to keep on going on? You remember we said the book of Acts, it ends abruptly. It really isn't an end. It really isn't a conclusion because we are writing it and finishing it. How well are we doing? Do we have any prejudices or biases in one way or another that would keep us from preaching the gospel? Maybe, maybe not. If we're not preaching the gospel, let's start looking at the problem somewhere. What's keeping us? Is there some people that we wouldn't pray for? We're not going to pray for them. What? We have been called to pray and to preach the gospel to anyone, no matter who it is. And if you hold a different view, it's an unbiblical view. Or we might say, well, you know, I'm not going to go to a certain part of town. Or I don't like that ethnicity. I'm not going to preach to that ethnicity. They're all terrible. How long has the church been going on since the day of Pentecost? Far more than 7 years, and there are still prejudices in the church. There are still prejudices in us. There are still things that keep us from going forward. At some point, we have to get it. You know, we want to blame those Jews. You rejected the light. You didn't bring the light to us. You ever wonder why it's God in chapter 11 of Romans who has to do the restoring of the light to the Jews? I'm sure it's partly impartial to their partial hardening, but maybe it's because we just won't go. You know what? We're happy right here. Just like they were happy with Judaism and then turned it into Christianity. And we have our group, we have our clique, we have our people. That's as far as it goes. Do we do the same thing? I think it would be extremely wrong if we were to say, I am saved and I'm happy and I am still. I am stationary. I am saved and I am happy and I am stationary. We would be missing the point just as much as the Jews missed the point back then. And we may be and we may not. We certainly know and appreciate when we see people talk to Christ. And we know that people talk to Christ. and we evangelize. But we need to do more. And we all need to do it. Not just some. We all need to do it. Doesn't matter if you're here in this church or whatever church. If you're a believer, that's what you need to be doing. And we're going to see an emphasis in the book of Acts. We really looked at an emphasis so far in the book of Acts on apologetics. How to defend your faith. How to teach your faith. What is the faith? But we are going to see now that the groundwork has been done, now that the doors have been opened, it's time to walk out and go out and minister. And one might say that's really where our churches are today. The groundwork is being done, hopefully. Hopefully they're teaching the word in the churches. Hopefully they're teaching doctrine so that when they go out, they know what to say. They don't lead anyone into error. Hopefully that's what we're doing here. I believe we are. But there comes a point when there's so much groundwork to be done, we need to go out. We need to go out. And it wouldn't even be bad if we have a few people that say, you know what? I'm leaving your church. Why? What did we do wrong? Nothing. We believe God is calling us into the ministry. That would be fantastic. John MacArthur said, he preaches to the people so that they leave. Not leave because they're upset or disagree, but because they've been prepared and they go out and start other ministries. And that's what we need to do here. So I really wanted to look at this picture. Acts chapter 11 is more or less the, you know, it's a recounting, and there are some things that we have to look at, some key statements in there, but it's really a recounting of what happened in chapter 10. Why? Why do we have to go over it and over it? You know, somebody said that when Luke wrote, the papyri was not that plentiful, and he had to be careful when he chose his words. 28 chapters in Greek would be about a 35-foot scroll. That's a big scroll, and that goes into a pretty big round. And so he did have to be careful. He had to be careful what he said, that he didn't say too much. Now, it was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand that. But we also know that the Lord uses the author's situation, purposes for writing, and other things, personality. But when it comes to the Gentiles and him sharing about the inclusion of the Gentiles, he takes not just one long chapter, but he takes two chapters. Because of the extreme importance, because of this extreme importance of their day, this breach between Jew and Gentile, and also because of what was happening in the history of the church. This was a major wall that was being knocked down, and it was going to be the difference in the church. It was going to be finally accomplishing the purpose of God. But I think it's also for us today to make sure that we don't have any prejudices holding us back. We don't have any walls that need to be broken down for us. That all the doors are open. And once the groundwork is laid and we understand the gospel, we understand the teaching, we understand our God, we're growing. And this is exactly what we're doing in this church. This is why we do it. Why do you study the attributes on Wednesday? To teach us from the Word. To ground us from the Word. Hopefully no one would say, well, I already know all that. Really? You really know all the attributes of God and all that there is to know about that. That's funny because in my study is reading about the attributes of God. Everyone I read says it's just a drop in the bucket of what we know. The more we study it, the more we go over it, the more we see. We're laying the groundwork here so that we can do step one of God's call to Grace Bible Church, which is to move out. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for showing us that though it was a mystery, it was in the Old Testament. But it could not be comprehended. Much like the two advents of Christ could not be comprehended. And so, Father, We need your revelation to understand these things. And we need to study that revelation that has been compiled so that we can be grounded in our faith. Oh, Lord, one of the worst things that we could do is send people out who have not been grounded. That's almost as bad as not having anybody go out at all. That you would ground us in the truth and in the gospel and in our scriptures so that we can bring the gospel and bring it aright to the many individuals who are out there and all that you open the door for us. So, Lord, let us have our part in the completion of the book of Acts because, Lord, after all, you've included us Gentiles into your plan of salvation. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.